Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of freedom. Wellness, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station, nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. Vegan Queen V in England, UK. She's a singer-songwriter, and this is her song, The Power. Only One Life by Vegan Queen V. Next up is Awake. Right after this song, Vegan Queen V is joining us for an interview on Vegan Nation. Thanks again for tuning in. Joined by Vegan Queen V in England, UK. Vegan Queen V is an animal rights and human rights singer-songwriter. She's fabulous, talented, and very powerful. Thank you, Vegan Queen V, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Oh, thank you so much, Marlene, for having me and for that beautiful introduction. You're very sweet.
Oh, you are a goddess. You're amazing. Love your music and that all that you've done, and you really are an involved soul. You're just amazing. Especially I love that you talk about the what I call the boomerang effect, is the as we sow we reap, that the human atrocities that go on century after century really requires animal liberation to help solve all these problems. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's quite simple, really, isn't it? How can humans be free? How can we have a free world in a world where so many, like billions, are you know, enslaved and, you know, murdered? It can't exist in the same reality. So until the animals are free and we stop using them as, you know, commodities and as products, then it's gonna, as you say, have an effect on the humans as well. And so that's my mission, is to sort of spread that truth, and also to try and do something about it.
Yes, thank you. And you are very effective and very powerful.
So thank you.
Oh, so speaking of what we can do about it, and of course also bring joy, oh, your wonderful album, Freedom Warrior. Let's hear about that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Freedom Warrior. I mean, it started to be written when I first went vegan back in 2016, about 8 years ago. I've been a songwriter for most of my life. I penned my first song when I was about 12 and then sort of went into it professionally and, you know, through university, and then continued because it's just my biggest passion, songwriting and music in general. And when I went vegan, what the footage that I was seeing and the things that I was, uncovering, it was just so traumatic. That I just naturally started writing songs about the animals and for the animals and through the sorts of things that the animals would want to say if they could speak, the human language. And it's actually, I've realized it's been very therapeutic for me, because as vegans, you know, we discover the truth and then we want to do something about it. And, you know, music is my doing something about it, writing these songs for the animals. But also, you know, you're hit with, as I'm sure many vegans will empathize with. You're hit with your family and your friends basically saying you're crazy, and that, you know, that's not what's going on, and basically just denying what's happening and not wanting to change their behaviors and their habits. So on top of the trauma of realizing what's going on with the animals and, you know, seeing this horrific footage, as I'm sure many people have, you're also hit with the fact that your friends and family don't care. You know, I would have thought that when they had seen the footage that I had seen and witnessed, that they would want to take a similar action. But unbelievably, but, you know, is it the case that so many just deny it? And so writing the songs, yeah, has been kind of helpful for me as well to kind of deal with that, to hope that I'm helping the animals and the humans, because as we say, humans are going to be in this, you know, cycle of misery until we do really do something about what's happening all over the globe with, you know, billions and billions of animals.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Vegan Queen V. As we're discussing the boomerang effect, and as we sow, we reap, so that human liberation from disease, from war, from the conflicts requires animal liberation, but of course at its root is being kind and just and compassionate towards animals, even if it didn't benefit us. And I like that with your songs, that your songs really bring that out.
That's the only way change happens, isn't it? By each individual making that choice to be a more compassionate, loving person in the world.
And congratulations, Vegan Queen V, on the release of your debut album, Freedom Warrior, in May of 2022. And I'd like to also talk about your second album that you are currently recording.
Yes, I'm really excited about this one. It hasn't yet got a title. I'm sort of waiting for that to come in. But all the songs are written and they've all been recorded at the same studio as I recorded Freedom Warrior. And again, they are just, they're songs of empowerment and of truth and of freedom and more just in my life. So obviously it comes through in my songwriting as well. I'm just sort of playing with this sort of, you know, idea of reality and pushing the boundaries more. And I really like to push people, not in a way to make them angry, but in a way sort of just make them rethink reality and think their reality. For example, I don't wear shoes most of the time, and I don't wear shoes most of the time because I prefer it. I like to have my feet on the ground. I like my feet to be able to feel the ground. But I also like when somebody will come up to me and you know, just look at me like, wear your shoes. And, you know, I'll come back with an answer that they probably never really even thought about. But I want to be this being in this world that is going to knock people out of this sort of conditioning and this, you know, this brainwashing. Just do enough to just help them question all the things that they've been told. And, to help make their lives healthier and, you know, be able to empower themselves to treat themselves, to heal themselves. We're so reliant on the, you know, the pharmaceutical industry. And there are so many things that we can do ourselves, to, you know, make ourselves healthier. You know, grounding, not wearing shoes is one. I swim in the cold water in the sea all throughout the year now. And again, these are all things that I just, since lockdown, I just started to discover because I knew there was something off. I never questioned the pharmaceutical industry before then. I would go to the doctors and I would take the paracetamol and, you know, the ibuprofen, and I would just be going along with what everyone told me and what the doctors were telling me, because that's the kind of person I guess I was. Maybe not so much now, but I just always assumed that what somebody was telling me, and maybe this is very naive, but what somebody was telling me, doctor or otherwise, you know, they were sure in that fact, and they had strong evidence to say what they're saying, And it turns out that's not true at all. And yeah, so that's a big part of what I want to do now, and help to empower people as individuals to look after themselves. I'm not saying there isn't a place for the pharmaceutical industry. Perhaps there is, and especially if you break a bone or have something serious going on, then yeah, by all means, go to the hospital, go to the doctor. But there are so many things that we've just kind of been tricked into thinking that we need to do or that we should do, and that are actually not very good for us at all.
We're listening to Vegan Queen V via Skype in England, UK. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Vegan Queen V. This is her song, Mother Nature's Conversations. Vegan Nation, I'm your host, Molly Allen, Worcester, Massachusetts. We're listening to Mother Nature's Conversations by Vegan Queen V. Let's continue our conversation with Vegan Queen V. I appreciate the page on your website, Foraging.
Yeah, foraging is another beautiful example of just a little information can help empower you so much. The great thing is there are so many plants that are just all around us. In our garden, in the woodland, like globally, that are so beneficial to our health that we just, some of them you could just pick and eat right there. Like dandelion leaves is a great example, or nettle leaves. They're both things that you can, that they're everywhere and it's free. The dandelion leaf, you can just pick a few leaves. You can use the whole plant, but pick some leaves and just add it into your salad, or blend it up in a smoothie. And there you've got free food packed full of nutrition. And one thing I love about it as well is you can't get fresher food than that. Then you're literally picking it and putting it in your mouth, and that connection of finding our food and picking it ourselves has been completely lost. So foraging is a really beautiful way to try and regain that connection. And as I say, again, it's empowering to be able to go out, know that, oh, I can eat that, I can use that in my meal. I do it as much as I can. And as I say, you only need a few leaves dandelion leaves, or you know, nettle tea. Pick some nettle leaves and just steep it for 5 minutes, and you've got a beautiful, fresh, nutritionally packed drink for free. So it's beautiful.
Thank you, Vegan Queen V. And I'd also love to hear about living the van life throughout Great Britain.
I got a van about 2.5 years ago now, and I've been living in it ever since with my two rescue dogs, Zala and Simba. And it works so well with what I do, the music and the events, because I can now sort of plan, you know, where I'm going to be for this event, that event, and make a little adventure out of it. So it works really well for music. And there's so many jobs it would work well with, obviously, not all of them, but for music and events, it's great. You know, I'll try and pick places that are by the river. And, you know, right now we're parked up by the sea on the Norfolk coast in England. The sea's right there, and I've been in the sea sort of 2 or 3 times every day, and the dogs love it as well. It's just a new place every day to explore and new people to meet.
Yes, and that reminds me of your new album, your second album that you're working on, recording, and your beautiful song, Mother Nature's Conversations.
Yes, Mother Nature's Conversations. I released that on Christmas Day. Christmas present for everyone, even though it's not a Christmas song. But yeah, Mother Nature's Conversations is basically reminding people that we are a part of nature, and we need to find that connection again if we're gonna survive. I feel like we're kind of losing our humanity in a way. The more we sort of rely on these big corporations and on AI, the less human we are, the less connection we have. And that's something that I think needs talking about.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, I'd also like to hear about another song on your new album that you're currently recording, your second album. And the song is You Are.
Yes, You Are. I really enjoyed listening to the Claire Mann interview that you did. Vegan psychologist. She's an amazing woman, and really, her videos really helped me through lockdown. And one of her catchphrases is, we are who we've been waiting for, i.e. we can't rely on big corporations, on, you know, doctors, on others to save us, to make this world a better place. It's all down to us. It's all down to the individual. And that inspired me to write the song You Are. And the chorus is, you are who you've been waiting for. And again, it's just to remind people that the power lies completely inside the individual. And you are the savior for you. You are the person who is going to help you. You know, look no further. It's great, really. You don't have to go out. It's just all inside of you. So yeah, I'm really excited about that song, and I hope that will help people to feel empowered and feel that they can do more for themselves instead of relying on you know, these big corporations.
Thank you, Vegan Queen V. And I also appreciate your collaborations. And one of the ones that's most lovely is The Golden Rule.
Yeah, The Golden Rule was a song commissioned by Vine, Veganism in Education, here in the UK, but hopefully it'll become a global movement. Michelle, who is behind Vine, is, yeah, it's just a top woman, Michelle and her partner Tony. And we've been working together since I released Freedom Warrior, really. They were a big support in making that album. And I've, you know, done a few things with her since. And The Golden Rule is particularly special and important because it's going to be shown and hopefully sung in schools all around the UK, and then, as I say, hopefully globally, we will get there. But the idea is that children need to have more vegan material in their schools. They need to be learning about compassion and empathy, and the fact that we don't need to hurt animals, and there are other ways to live. And the golden rule is treat others how I want to be treated, basically. And that's the whole premise behind that, behind the golden rule. So the song is basically about that. Just treat others as we'd want to be treated, which I think is exactly the sort of thing that kids need to be hearing. and singing.
Thanks again, Vegan Queen V. And thank you for all you do. We're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional messages do you have for our listeners and all your contact information for those who can learn more about your music and all your many events that you play at? I love it. So let's hear about that.
It's the summer, so it's festival season, which is great. I've got quite a few festivals and events coming up over the summer. They can all be found on my website, which is veganqueenv.com, and also my Instagram, which is Instagram at veganqueenv. That's sort of the only social platform I sort of communicate with the outside world on. But the gig listings are all up there. But a few in particular I'd like to mention. Vegan Camp Out is I think one that most people all over the world will have heard of. I'm playing that festival on Mobius Loops stage, who are another amazing animal rights, human rights band, and just fabulous songs, fabulous people. And then I'm in Wales in August, and I've got two really beautiful events, which are going to be great. Party for the Pigeons on the 17th with my friend Sue, who runs the Little Green Pigeon Sanctuary. She does amazing work with her partner, Matt. And then I've got a few more. I've got a Vegan Kids Festival at the end of August, which I'm really looking forward to, because I think out of all the festivals, that's potentially the most important. They are the ones who really need our help and support in making these compassionate choices and being given the correct information, not lied to. So I'm excited about that one. And then I'm in Germany in September for Animal Pride, which I played last September. So I'm super happy to be back and really excited to meet up with the team there again. If anybody is in any of those areas or the UK, then it'd be so great to see you at an event. Otherwise, please do connect with me on Instagram and have a look at my website and YouTube as well. I've got loads of videos on there, which is youtube.com/VeganQueenV.
Wonderful. Thank you, Vegan Queen V. And thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you so much, Marlene. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Much thanks to our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene wishing you a beautiful, pleasant day. Thanks to Vegan Queen V for sharing her music. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, freedom, health, wellness, and sustainability. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I am very honored and thrilled that we are joined by vegan psychologist Claire Mann. Claire Mann is a vegan psychologist and Vistopia transformation coach. She has done remarkable work for years. She's a leader in the vegan movement, and we're going to be discussing a lot of programs that she offers for vegans. Thank you very much, Claire, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you so much, Marlene. And listening to the profile, the philosophy of what your episodes or your whole station is about, I'm thrilled to be here. I love the words like transformation, revolution. And I know we've spoken in previous times that, you know, we are the ones we've been waiting for. And so it's delightful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. And can you please tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yes, I always smile when I'm asked this question because, as you know, the older we get, we've been around a while, the list sort of gets longer of the journey you've been on. But I'll try and do it in a little bit of a nutshell. I am indeed a vegan psychologist and also a Vistopia transformation coach, a name I really gave to myself because I was the person who created the word Vistopia, and also one of my books, Vistopia, is something that many vegans know me by. So I originally didn't start out as this, actually. I've been a psychologist for over 30 years, and I trained as an organizational psychologist back in the UK, and I've worked in many organizations, big and small and medium, many organizations I definitely would not work in now, corporations, but, you know, we're all on a path, and when we know better, we do better. And the sort of work I got involved in really was training and development, graduate trainee schemes, culture change, and communication skills, mainly having the conversations that matter. And then for 9 years within that, also, I was a university lecturer. And I had the great pleasure and also the hunger at the time in my younger years. I've worked in over 20 different countries in that capacity, which is kind of exciting. And it was really, oh gosh, nearly 46 years ago, Marlene, that I read a book by Bob Geldof from the Boomtown Rat. Many of the writer of the vintage, they'll remember who he was, obviously for Live Aid and the money that was raised in Africa during the famine in Ethiopia. And he talked about working in an abattoir. And I didn't see anything or hear anything of his account in Dublin. But I can still, as I'm telling you, see what was happening to the animal. And I could see their face. And it was in that instance I thought, I'm not going to be part of this at all. Now, I was brought up like a normal family with meat and two vegetables. And I stopped eating on the spot. I was 17 years old. But I didn't look any further because it was weird in those days, kind of, and people were laughed at to be vegetarian. But overnight I became a vegetarian, I guess. And I got on with life. Luckily, and I say luckily because I now know I wasn't a baby calf, I had eczema. And so dairy came out of my diet for a good another decade and things. But it was only 16 years ago, after navigating through the world, that I was living in New Zealand with my partner, and he showed me, we came across obscene cruelty to cows and calves being taken away and pig hunting dogs. And when we came back to Australia, in his wisdom, he went and looked at a lot of the videos to say, is this just happening in New Zealand? Maybe Australia too. And he sat me down. He said, we need to watch this. And we watched all the terrible videos of the industrialized cruelty towards animals. And on the spot, we all became vegan, which is very exciting. And that was 16 years ago. Anyway, I'll fast forward. Right away, I became an activist. I went onto the streets. I emceed large events like Van Live Export rallies. I started to speak at festivals and used my skills really as an organizational trainer to speak out on this. But I called myself a vegan psychologist because people wanted to come and talk about this specific challenge. And would now be a good time, Marlene, really to define what Vistopia is?
Yes, that'd be great.
Fantastic. So I feel I'm sort of, it's very easy on the radio, of course, when we're talking for such a long time. I wonder if I should sort of take a little breath here, but I'm giving you a story. But it was really in between about 2012 and 2016, possibly, people started to come to see me because they were vegan.
We're listening to vegan psychologist Claire Mann in Australia.
But I started to get different sort of people coming to see me who were sent by, I was in private practice in Sydney at the time, and they would come and the doctor or the psychiatrist had referred them as having one of three conditions. Number one, they said they had eating disorders. Now, vegans can have eating disorders, but it's certainly not because they chose not to eat animals and the consequences of what happens to them. They said they had social adjustment disorders because they wouldn't go to Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter or eat around the table when people were eating animals. And the third one, which concerned me most of all, I was getting referrals that said that these people had such low self-esteem that they were deliberately watching slaughterhouse footage and animal cruelty as a form of self-harm. It absolutely outraged me that the profession could use its power so wrongly to hoodwink people and to demonize and pathologize what is really an act of kindness, which is the vegan lifestyle. So it was at that time, and I'll fast forward quite quickly, I knew I needed a term to stand up to these institutions who continue to be very powerful. And in our world at the moment, over the last few years, we've seen this too, is our really slavish adherence to the profession, so to speak, and the notion of science, which we can look at in a moment, of course. But so I came up with the term dystopia. And very briefly, dystopia is the anguish a person feels at discovering about the institutionalized and systematized and legal abuse of animals. And when they tell people, instead of people changing immediately, they say, oh, it could never happen. The government would never allow it. This is just an example of cruelty in a particular farm. Oh, I only buy my cosmetics from ABC. All the excuses. So the poor vegan, in one sense, who discovered the extent of the ubiquitous nature of this, sees this almost trance-like collusion with a dark and dystopian world that the listener is not even knowing they're part of. And this doesn't just mean veganism, it means other things, but in the context of dystopia, that's what it is. But then the vegan says, well, if I didn't know about the nature of this, the extent and of the size of the problem, that everywhere there is animal cruelty, unless we decide to actively not be part of it, and they'd say, well, what else don't I know? And then they're called a conspiracy theorist. And haven't we heard that term today? So today I focus specifically on helping vegans recover from the trauma of dystopia so that they sort of eagerly await every conversation about veganism rather than feeling it's a form of conflict. And my aim is that vegans work through that, do the inner work, the inside job, as I say, and become happy, calm, confident vegan change makers to be part of the solution of this revolution you talk about, Marlene.
Thank you, Claire. So let's hear about the upcoming free 3-day Dystopia Recovery Masterclass.
Yes, well, it's really come out of demand, actually, of vegans still struggling. Because if you're a vegan listening to this, or maybe a would-be vegan, firstly, I don't divide the world into vegan and non-vegan. Because people aren't, you know, kind or unkind, you know, cruel or not cruel. You know, we're all on a path, and the vast majority of people are good people doing bad things, actually. And I certainly, you know, I've got so much to learn. What areas am I involved in other parts of life where I could be kinder? And I like the notion of pre-vegan and pro-vegan, because most people I know will care for a human or a non-human animal. And we just have to expand that notion, that window, to see how much we've been hoodwinked and hijacked here. So I put together a free 3-day, 1 hour a day, Dystopia Recovery Masterclass. And in those lessons each day, people are going to identify where they are on the trauma cycle of their dystopia, come away with tools and techniques to create a strong foundation each day to navigate that and work through it. They're going to understand why good people do bad things, and why we have most problem with family and close people and what we can do about that. So I want people to come to that workshop to be encouraged, to be hopeful, and to go out into the world in whatever way they can to be a part of the solution to the very big problems we are facing today. So I'll quickly give you the link there. I think they're in the show notes, of course, but it's veganpsychologist.com/master-class-register. But if you just go to veganpsychologist.com, there'll be a banner there and you can sign up. And I'd love to see you there in America. It starts on the 15th of July, running for 3 days. There'll be replays, so you'll be able to catch up if it's not in a good time zone for you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Claire.
You know, there's so many wonderful vegans out there doing wonderful things to help people to communicate. And really, I started to do the transformation and recovery programs because if facts alone were enough, or we could really learn to be good communicators, and we must, you know, why aren't people having the confidence, the influence that we really truly should have? Because there's no bad news about veganism at any level, spiritually, morally, physically, health-wise, economically. We just need to transition to, different product lines. So why isn't that happening? And it's because to be a real effective influencer and communicator, we have to change on the inside. I know my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Will Tuttle, has spoken out so widely on this, and I really champion his amazing book, Food Freedom. People really encourage you to come along to that. Really sees the much bigger picture of which animal cruelty and what's happening in animal testing labs is an outcome of control and abuse and oppression. And us vegans need to keep asking that third stage dystopia, what else don't I know? And if we're called a conspiracy theorist, You know what? People have called me that, Marlene, but I call myself a conspiracy analyst. There are factions out there. I've seen it all through the whole of my decades of life where the powers that shouldn't be are conspiring to deceive. They've done it with the animal things. They tell us we need to eat protein in order to be healthy or calcium for our bones. These are all myths and lies. So what else don't we know? So anything that comes into our path, particularly in these modern times, is to ask the question, okay, that seems a little bit out there, but I value the person speaking about it, or they have a, you know, a background in this, or they've researched something. What else don't I know? Vegans, try to keep an open mind, because it's very easy for us to be hoodwinked into going along with certain agendas that we were going along with before we became vegan. But there's much more to know, and that'll in the end be of great value to animals.
You're listening to Claire Meehan via Skype in Australia. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Miley Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with vegan psychologist Claire Meehan. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, Massachusetts. I'm very honored and thrilled that we are joined by vegan psychologist Claire Meehan in Australia. Claire has been a leader in the vegan movement for years, and she does so much to help all the vegans in the world and to help veganize this planet, which means to create a paradigm of peace and justice for all. So thanks again, Claire, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, was it Mark Twain who said, and I may have the author wrong, there's two most important days in our lives, the day we were born and the day we realized why we were born. And I really encourage people to be part of the solution. Now, someone becomes aware, of course, of a vegan lifestyle, of which eating is only really one of the behaviors. It's a philosophy of the non-use and non-exploitation of animals. You want to be part of that, to usher that in, because I personally, you know, there's a lot of agony internally when I realize continually what's happening to animals. But that can be transmuted into powerful action for change. In fact, must be. You know, many people listening have probably watched the documentary Dominion, which was an Australian undercovering of what is really happening in factory farming and animal testing labs, hidden in plain sight. And I remember the director there, Chris Delfour, said, "What is in darkness will be brought into the light." And I think there is a much greater uncovering at this time in our history. You know, as we look around, it's very easy for us to become hopeless, to feel, gosh, people are just bad. There's such a lack of peace. There's war. There's people polarize very easily to right and left, and Trump and Biden and conservative and liberal. And really, that's just a way out of our agony of our unknowing and our uncertainty. Is what is really important is putting a strong foundation each day into ourselves through good nutrition, through rest, through meditation, and through having purpose. Because a lot of things we can't do things about in the world, but this isn't one of them. We have to ask on our own doorstep, how can we be of service, really? How can we be kind? What do we like in our words to each other as vegans? I see so much infighting and cruelty to each other, and it's coming from fear. And the powers that shouldn't be, and I say that because I've been an organizational psychologist. You know, my background is I've seen inside a lot of big organizations and governments and worked actually in legal system as well, is, you know, there is an attempt to want to control people because in the interest that the person influencing wants to believe people should go. And so people don't realize that it isn't just a few bad apples in governments or organizations. The brightest and the best psychologists and behavioral scientists are adopted by these organizations and government bodies to influence people in a certain way. And it's called nudge psychology. And it's deliberately, there are whole think tanks that if they want to get a message out to the world, they will influence. And it's often done by fear and conformity, belonging to a tribe. And that's why we've got such a large number of people eating the flesh and reproductive secretions of animals, even though it's killing them, their diet is making people sick, it's causing enormous cruelty to animals and destroying the planet on which we live. So I encourage vegans to keep asking, what else don't I know? don't become polarized, pro this and anti this, because that's how our power is taken away and we too will be hoodwinked. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's actually ask the question, what else don't I know? And if you hear it from a source you value, who know has been doing some amazing work over the years, and you don't immediately dismiss people, say, okay, they're a little bit out there, but I will look into this because I respect the person who is in openness trying to uncover what is happening. So let's keep asking questions and let's keep focusing on the imperative, the moral imperative, the path to a kinder, freer, more peaceful world, which is through the path of veganism.
Thank you, Claire. We've all been, like you said, hoodwinked into believing that we need to consume the flesh of victims for protein, that we can't be healthy unless we consume, inject or ingest these products by these non-vegan institutions, the governmental institutions in collaboration with the corporations to create division and deceive even further. The one that has been on my mind recently, the freedom movement, the human freedom movement, those who see violations of the Constitution and stripping away of human rights in all various countries even. And yet most of them are not vegan. And I see a pattern that has developed where I think maybe it's coming from the infiltration and co-option of the vegan movement, where they've created a thought that veganism is part of this agenda of control and domination, really putting down veganism, putting an incorrect focus that it's a diet. So could you ad lib on that, please?
Yes, of course. It's interesting, isn't it? I think over the last few years, there's enormous trauma enacted on people. And people are really, you know, so many people are in so much debt and they've lost their homes and they've lost family members because of the fear that was around people. Instead of coming together, it divided people. Those people perhaps don't understand the full extent of what we call the freedom movement. That sort of rose up enormously during the last few years, where people said there's far too much overreach of government. We're moving towards digital currencies. We're having all these mandates. We're being tracked and traced everywhere. But isn't that an echo of what's happening to animals actually starting to happen to us?
We're listening to vegan psychologist Claire Mann. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We'll have a little musical interlude, and then we'll continue our conversation with Claire Mann. This is vegan musician Elias Clay in collaboration with Presence. Rule and Illusion.
Redemption calling, calling, as they deception's falling, falling. Our intentions blooming, blooming. And the people are rising, rising. This Babylon burning, burning. Illusion dissolving, solving. The problem resolving, solving. The new world evolving, loving, yeah.
The walls are coming down. And there's nothing they can do about.
A lot of the freedom movement, of course, talks about agorism. Now, I encourage people to have a look at that, and I'm kind of excited by that prospect of a vegan agorish world. It's largely what I'm doing now, is agorism is the principle by the original, I can't remember his first name, Konkin II. He wrote a book on the liberation. And basically, agorism is a non-initiation of violence. Well, immediately my ears pricked up, because that's the principle of veganism, of course. And non-initiation of violence means towards ourselves and towards others as well. But somehow the freedom movement has said we'll eat animals, so they're enslaved in that sort of paradigm. So people came and said, we'll have our own cryptocurrency, we'll have our own currencies, we'll grow our own food. And yet I saw that, and I championed it. I actually, you know, started to meet with a lot of people that were standing up against, and it is government overreach, there is no doubt about it. And it's only because people allow it and don't challenge, you know, what we want as a society. And what I actually found is that people were having animals in their gardens or in fear, you know, breeding guinea pigs to eat. And I said, well, hey, just a moment. If we want freedom, peace and liberation, we're taking this away from others. Marlene, you're absolutely correct. Is, you know, we are seeing this a lot. We're seeing the freedom movement is saying that, oh, Bill Gates and all that crowd sort of thing, they want us to become vegan. So our job is to constantly, firstly, never assume that people know what vegan is, because they say, oh, yes, you're a preachy vegan. But when you say, okay, well, what do you understand by veganism? They talk about diet. So as long as we go back to a philosophy of the non-use and exploitation of animals is the paradigm of kindness, compassion, and doing no harm, and vegan agorism, which is the non-initiation of violence, we can then have a conversation from that perspective.
We're listening to vegan psychologist Claire Mann, joining us from Australia. Tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. We're listening to the music of Will Tuttle. This is the Geese Song. Now we'll continue our conversation with Claire Mann as she's discussing communication techniques.
It also, at every level, there's no bad news about veganism. So it's not that we're trying to sort of get people. I say to people, you don't have to give up anything. You just have to stop taking what was never yours. So I hope that helps and gives a little bit of insight there, Marlene, of, you know, and also for vegans who are resisting the freedom movement and saying, oh, you know, we have to go along with certain paradigms that the government is laying out in front of us. I just ask vegans, you know, it's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's our own fear and anxiety that makes us polarize. But I ask the question, if we have governments and corporations that have heinously lied and hoodwinked us into believing we need to eat the flesh and reproductive secretions of animals for survival, which causes heinous cruelty, why are we going back to those very bodies and saying, heal me, I need this in order to be safe. I need to go in line and go along with this because I'll still be at the other end, then I can advocate for veganism. It is not vegan for us to abuse other people, to polarize, to minimize. Let's be vegan in our values to all living beings on the earth on which we live.
Thank you very much, Claire. Where can our listeners learn more about you and also learn more about the free 3-day Vistopia Recovery Masterclass?
Wonderful. Yes, it's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? Masterclass is going to take place over 3 days. There'll be 1 hour per day. There is a wonderful website that you can look at to see what those 3 days entail, what you are going to emerge from at the end. I want happy, hopeful, influential vegan change makers. That workshop, the 3-day, you can see it through veganpsychologist.com/master-class register. And this will take place on the 15th, 16th and 17th, if you're in the US or UK. But in Australia, Eastern Time, it'll be 16th, 17th and 18th. I really look forward to seeing you there. If you can't make the actual times, a replay will be sent out each day. And after the whole event, it'll only be up for 4 days. So I encourage you to focus on that, get tools and techniques to be an empowered vegan change maker.
And I would like to learn more a little bit about some of your education.
I studied initially in psychology. I did a science degree in understanding. I didn't go back to studies when I was 23. I'd been out in the world working for about 7 years before then until I really realized I wanted to find out what made people tick. So I did a bachelor's in general psychology and a science degree. I then did a Master of Science in Occupational Psychology at London University, learning how to go into the world of work. And for me, it was about improving the quality of working life. For the organizations, increasingly, it was how do I make more profit? And then I realized that executives behind closed doors wanted me to take them on a journey I couldn't. So I went back to train as an existential psychotherapist and counselor. So I did another MA in that subject and practiced in that capacity. But I also did postgraduate diploma in counseling in Australia. I was awarded fellowship, invited to be a fellow of the Human Resources Institute for books I've written in that area in my past. And also I'm a fellow of the British Psychological Society. Fellow sounds very grown up, doesn't it? It just means that you've contributed to research and usually written books on the topic. I just love books and they've been great teachers to me. So I guess that I'm part of the Australian Psychological Society. Now, these are professional bodies. I encourage them greatly to ask more questions, encourage professionals truly to continue to develop, and encourage people to take ownership and responsibility. We rely so much these days, Marlene, on the professional. And we hear words like the science is settled. As someone with two science degrees, the science is never settled. It's a vigorously debated topic. And that really is part of nudge psychology, to stop people asking questions, to move in a certain area. So keep an open mind. What an exciting adventure we're on at this time in our history to create a greater world for animals and people on the earth on which we live.
Thank you very much, Claire Mann, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. This is Marlena Massachusetts wishing you a beautiful, pleasant day.